I don't know where that left off, but...
You were talking about if you were not gay, but someone would open a bar.
If I were not gay, but had, you know, had gay friends or gay family, and had been in gay bars and seen the business that they did, I certainly would want to open a gay, especially today. You know, in this day and age. Because that's, you know, that's where the money is. I mean, you go around to some of the straight bars on the weekends, and a lot of them, you know, aren't that busy. Mm-hmm. And the gay bars are jam-packed. Mm-hmm. Especially on weekends. Especially, like, now that there's so many bars, well, not really so many, but there's a lot of competition. He's got two for one night, he's got half price night, he's trying to get them here, he's trying to get them there, you know. It's like a tug of war, trying to get the clientele. But back in the old days, it wasn't like that. There were a lot of bars, and nobody had any special trying to get you here or there, because everybody just, if you went out on a Saturday night, you hit every gay bar that was going. Huh. You went in one bar, had a few drinks, went in another one, had a few drinks, and then you went back to see who was in the first bar, if anybody knew was there, and you just kept circling all night long, you know? Never got bored.
Why was it different? Why was it that people, like, didn't stay in one bar, but would hit them all? What made it different?
I don't know. I mean, you never got bored because everybody was circulating, and every time you went in, there was different people in there, you know?
Hmm.
I mean, you take it in the matter of one block, there was a carousel in the middle of the block. Leonard's was on the corner. Right around the corner, on the next corner, was the 132. Across the street was a bar that wasn't gay, but gays went in, called the Kitty Cat. Around the corner from that was the Pink Pony, which wasn't gay, but the gays went in. I mean, Johnny's Elegant Grill, that had live music, and they went in, you know, there was just so many bars to go to that you just kept circulating, you know, and it was really a lot of fun. I thought it was. I mean, you sit in a bar now, and I certainly don't want to knock it, because if they weren't sitting in the one bar, I wouldn't be working. But I mean, you sit in the bar now, and I mean, the same people are there, and you're looking at the same faces all night long, you know? It's so much different back then.
Gay life must have really been bustling then, that it could have these many bars and all of them had a clientele.
Nobody worried about, you know, getting them in or getting them out, because the bars were all crowded.
Was this true every night or mostly weekends, during the day?
All the time, every night.
Every night?
Yeah.
Well, what were people's lives like that they could go out every night? First of all, have the money to do that, and second of all, just have a lifestyle that enabled them to go out every night.
Well, they worked. I did it. You know. I worked. In fact, at one time I was working full-time job days from 9 to 6, from 9 in the morning to 6 at night, and then from 9 at night until 3 in the morning I was coming by, you know, and I kept that up for a long time. But I mean, before I started to work in the bars, I mean, you know, when I first started to hang around the bars, I was out the whole time, every night.
Now, which bars were these? Could you, that were busy every night? Were some busier than others?
Yeah, the Carousel was busy, Mardi Gras was busy, Binkles was busy. Dugan's was, you know, an in-and-out thing, you know. The 132 was busy. They were all busy. You know, and that's what, you know, what I don't understand. If all the bars were so busy, then where are all the people now? I mean, I hear where I worked last Saturday was so busy that they almost locked the doors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Saturday before, you know, the business was really picking up. But these people don't come out during the week.
Right.
Tuesdays and Thursdays, we close very early, by midnight, sometimes before. You know, they just don't come out. Wednesday, they'll have a pretty good bar because it's half price night, you know.
Was it, do you think that kind of comparatively did it cost less? I mean, I know the prices were cheaper, but in terms of what people made and stuff, did it, you know?
Well, yeah, the drinks cost less, but your wages were lower.
Yeah. So how? So
no, but I couldn't really say that because I'm not blowing my horn or anything, but back in the days of the Mardi Gras and casts and bingos and the carousel, I was making more money than my dad.
Wow.
I was working for the same company, but in a different vicinity. I worked for Barkwell Recliners, making the recliner chairs and upholstery. That was piecework. And my dad worked for Barkwell on Louisiana Street. He was a tool polisher where they made the mattresses and the things like that. And we used to get a big kick. My mother used to get a big kick out of Friday night when we come home and compare our paychecks. And I'd make maybe $60-$70 more than he did, you know.
Wow.
It's, you know, back then it was a lot of money.
Right.
You know.
So it wasn't money that people
No, I don't. I don't understand what it is. It, you know, a lot of times I wouldn't feel like drinking, but I'd still go out, maybe have one or two beers, you know, just to go out to see who was out. You know, there was always somebody out back then, you know.
Do you think maybe it had anything to do with the people less tricky or something, and so that's why you just didn't go out to see your own kind of crowd that went out but mingled with everyone?
Yeah, it was more like that. It wasn't as quirky as it is now. It's, everybody was everybody's friend, you know. And you walked in and said hi, everybody walked up the bar, you know. It wasn't real quirky. Like now they come in groups and they stay in their groups. And
Okay, let me get my backlog of questions now. I know one question I have is, were there people who went to, remember you said that the carousel was kind of more, I forget what your exact words are, more, a little more classy or something. Were there people who, say, went to bingos or dugans or Mardi Gras, Texas, any of those, that maybe wouldn't feel comfortable going to the carousel, or did all those people eventually end up in the carousel anyway?
I would say they eventually, I went to Dugan's and Bingo's and the Mardi Gras. I was in the Mardi Gras an awful lot. And the Chesterfield. But I used to go to the Carousel and feel very comfortable. But then I feel comfortable no matter where I go. I mean, I'm, you know.
So nobody would be excluded from the Carousel.
Oh, no.
Well, I know, were there bouncers in specifically in any of these bars?
The carousel had a guy on the door, on the front, front door, as I recall.
Did any of the others?
I'm sure they must have, well, I really can't say for sure because I'm sure they must have, but, you know, like Granny Goodness coming back up, they had bouncers. I really can't recall ever seeing a bouncer in Bingo's or the Mardi Gras.
Was it up to the bartenders then?
Or the owner, Danny, was a pretty hefty guy, you know.
That was the owner of Bingo's?
No.
Mardi Gras?
Yeah. It's funny how that name just came right into my head after all these years. Holy God. I mean, I just said his name just like, you know, that even surprises me. A long time ago.
Do you have a favorite bar from this period?
Yeah, I would say the Carousel. I had a lot of fun in the other bars, but I would say the carousel.
Is there like any reason why that kind of stands out in your memory? What makes it different or more special?
Well, mostly because the Mardi Gras and bingos and doobins, and they had a lot of space going in where the carousel didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And it was easier to sit down in the carousel and just carry on a conversation with someone, get to really know somebody, you know, and sit and talk, you know. The carousel is a kind of a bar where if it were here now today, would fit right in.
Huh.
I mean, they had dancing just to the jukebox, you know, in the back of that. But I mean, it would fit right in, you know, right now today if there was a bar like that. It's kind of like, what was that bar? On Elmwood.
Rosie?
It's kind of like Rosie's, but with dancing allowed and not as strict as Rosie's, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You can dance with girls and, you know.
Did girls slow dance together?
Yeah.
Did guys slow dance together?
I think they did at the end. I think that's a cold one. Near the end, yeah. Mm-hmm.
If in places where people were more cautious, you know, like before the carousel got real wild.
Yeah, well, the carousel didn't get wild. The carousel ran for a lot of years, you know. Carol had that place gone for a lot of years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just that I wouldn't say it got wild, but it's, in my opinion, as soon as back then they let the guys start coming in, they got careless. Well, let's use careless,
okay,
instead of wild, you know?
Uh-huh.
They got a little careless, you know, and let a little bit too much go on, you know, than they should have.
That's a good distinction. Mm-hmm. Who would kind of police the place? Like, who would kind of say, this is getting a little out of hand, or, you know, try to keep things so that...
The bartenders. Yeah.
And did people resist them, or did people kind of go along with them, or what was
no,
the attitude?
No, back towards? Then, if the bartender said something, well, you listened.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, the next thing was get out and don't come back, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way it should be, you know. And the owners always, if the bartender did something, the person went to the owner and says, hey, they said I'm barred. Well, then you're barred, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's very important to in a bar. I mean, because a lot of times the owners weren't there. And even in a bar today, you know, I believe fully that if a bartender is behind that bar and is doing their job and has to make a decision, and the owner should back them up, because if the bartender is making this decision, it's for the good of the bar.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I succeeded, but I've always tried to be loyal to the bar, but faithful to the customers, because they're my people.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
And it gets kind of hard sometimes, you know, because sometimes kids take advantage of the fact, well, you're gay, you know, I can get away with this because you're gay and you're not going to say anything. And but then I think of all the work that went in, like, right now at Betsy, and all the time Pat and I put in before it opened. I mean, well, we were there every day from morning till night working, painting, you know, all, you know, doing cleaning and
oh, it shows that it looks so beautiful.
And, you know, and then having him talking literally talking him into putting the sound system in and the sound booth, and have him turn to me and say, if this doesn't work, you're the one I'm going to kill, you know, that would make me spend all this money. And
I don't think you have to worry about that anymore.
No. No.
Is there, if the carousel was such a nice bar, my question is, why did people go, why did lesbians go to the other bars where there were straight people in the bar?
Well, they kind of, I think most of them went into the carousel during the course of an evening out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just, it's a deviation to get away, you know. Like I said, you know, if you're sitting in the same place and looking at the same people, you know, well, gee, you could take 10 minutes and walk down the street and go into another bar that's full of different faces, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Because like I said, back then, everybody used to come out and the gay people really stuck up for each other, you know. They really, really stuck up for each other.
But why, this is what we're trying to figure out, so maybe you don't have the answer either, but we don't. Why would lesbians fight for a bar if they already had a space? You know, like a place like the carousel. We think there's something positive to learn from that, and we're not sure yet what the reasons are. You know, why, even though they had a place like
the
carousel, they
still
fight. Yeah,
but you see, the carousel, when I first came out, carousel was an older clientele, and they were on and right across what the heck street is that? Damn, I can't think. It's around Washington Street, I think. Not Washington. One of the side streets. Eagle? No, not down there far. But when I first came out, it was there, and then it moved to Ellicott Street, which is just around the corner.
Mm-hmm. No.
No, Chippewa? I think it was Chippewa. Yeah. But, then they moved, like I said, around the corner, and then younger kids started to go in there,
mm-hmm.
you know, a younger clientele.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, there's no reason why, if you're saying if they had a bar, you know, why fight for another bar? You can. It's like saying. It's like you saying to me. Well, you have one set of clothes. Why go out and try to find a job to make money to buy another, you know, set of clothes? Just be satisfied and keep wearing the ones you got. You know. It's, you know. You always want to better yourself. Always.
Mm-hmm.
I would feel that, you know, that would be in anything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've seen some really holes that, you know, the kids hung out in. And another nice bar back, way back, was the Havana Casino.
Mm-hmm.
When that was taken over. And Pat and I worked there together. In fact, where we're working now used to be called the Signet back then, which was also a gay bar, and Pat and I worked there.
Mm-hmm.
Pat and I worked in about three or four bars together, owned by the same person.
Hmm. Is that the present owner, or
no,
different?
It was a woman.
Mm.
A woman. Yeah. And since this bar is open, she's been in a few times.
Oh.
Wanting, telling Pat and I that she'd like to open a bar, and she'd
oh,
like
really?
For us to... You know.
How do you like that?
But, you know, we'd never leave where we are now.
Mm-hmm.
Put too much into us.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm really proud of this. I'm proud of the best thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I look back, you know, all my life I've gone... it seems that all my life I've been looking for bars for the women, for the girls, you know. And I think that Betsy is by far one of the nicest bars the women have ever had.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they have everything everybody else has got. They got dance floor. Granted, it's not really big. They got disco lights, maybe not, you know. But I go into Ellis's, and those lights drive me crazy
mm-hmm.
sometimes. You know, you could take them just so long,
mm-hmm.
you know. And they gave them female DJs. So the place is clean,
mm-hmm.
and I think that the people who work there are courteous.
Yeah.
I mean, what more could you ask for?
That's
Yeah. This is, you know, this is what I've worked all these years for, to work up, you know. And God forbid, if the Betsy should ever close and I'm still able to stand and walk, I'll go out and try to find a better place, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Make a better place.
Mm-hmm.
It's just...
I have one more specific question about all these bars, and then on to more general stuff. Was Bingo's, what was the difference? When we talked to other people, kind of they categorized the Mardi Gras, the Chesterfield, Dugan's, kind of all as kind of bars that had straight people in them, you know, prostitutes and whatnot.
Weirdos,
yeah.
Oh, definitely.
And then there was Bingo's, which was a dump, but it didn't have as many straight people in
That's
it.
That's right.
And then there was the Carousel, and that was gay and a little bit nicer. What? Is that the way you see it? I mean, can you, like, identify other differences between, like, how we could understand what kind of bar Bingo's was like versus the others?
Well, Bingo's was a very small bar. It didn't have a back room. You walked in the front door, and there was a bar, and there was one, two, three, four booths, three or four booths. And that was it. It was just one room. And, he used to get really crowded. He was a really nice guy. He used to stack his beer in a hallway going back towards where the ladies' room were and that. And the kids used to go by and just open and take a warm bottle of beer and open it and drink it, you know.
And he didn't know this was going on?
Whether he did or not, you know. he never said anything.
He was
pretty fair.
Mm-hmm.
He was good. He was good to the kids.
With Bingo's, how was it? Would you say that Bingo's was like lesbian bars today, or how would you say it was different?
Oh, no.
No.
No, it was just a little hole in the wall. On a busy night there, you couldn't, I mean, if he had 50 people in there, he was crowded.
Oh,
it was
see.
Small.
It was more like, was it anything like the Villa?
No, the Villa today? No, it was smaller than
that. The original Villa where you work.
Yeah. Yeah. Just the one room, yeah. Just
mm-hmm.
like that, yeah.
Hmm.
That's all it was. In fact, I don't think it was that big.
It was small. Huh. But people liked it there.
People, you have to understand, people... If I have to go to a nicer place, and be mistreated, you know. People go where they're treated good, regardless. You know, Bingo's was a dump, but he treated the girls really good. He was really good to the girls, so you went there. I mean, I hope that the people think that they're treated well at the Betsy, as opposed to, I remember walking into Rosie's one night. Never been in the place. And I was supposed to meet someone, and they said, you know, meet me at Rosie's. And I said, all right, and I walked in, and well, I knew a lot of people that were at the bar and that. Well, somebody walked in that I hadn't seen who was very well known, so I won't mention their name. That I hadn't seen in a long time. I mean, a really long time. And I went up to them, it was a girl, and I went up to them, and anybody in their right mind would know that there, any embrace I gave this person couldn't possibly mean nothing but a friendship thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I put my arms around them, you know, and hugged them, you know, because I hadn't seen them in so long. And all of a sudden from behind the bar, somebody said, what the hell do you think you're doing? And I said, I turned and I looked and I said, I beg your pardon? And it was the owner. And she said, well, I didn't know she was the owner. And she said, what the hell do you think you're doing? No, take your arms out. And I said, what do I think I'm doing? I said, I think I'm greeting an old friend. She said, well, we don't greet friends like that in here. And I looked right at her and I said, well, let me tell you something. That's a damn shame.
Good for you.
You know, I said, that's really a damn shame. I said, because, you know, there's I don't know, but she didn't dislike me for it. Well, she didn't act like she did. I just say what I feel, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a shame. I don't care if it's a straight bar, a gay bar. It's a shame that if you walk in and you see somebody that you care for, I don't mean romantically, you know,
mm-hmm.
that you can't put an arm around them and hug them or give them an embrace or an affectionate kiss on the cheek or say, God, how have you been? I haven't seen you. I mean, that's a shame, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that God sitting up in his heaven wouldn't even knock that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of his laws, love thy neighbor, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, you can carry it a little too far.
Mm-hmm.
You know, being, you know, strict. Now, I'm saying about being strict in a gay bar. I mean, Helen, I don't believe, considers Rosie a gay bar.
Right.
I don't think she'd ever acknowledge the fact that she herself is gay. You know, I mean, the bar is just, you know, too much. And when the Betsy was being, you know, when Pat and I were working in the Betsy, I was going into Rosie's quite a bit, you know,
mm-hmm.
advertising
mm-hmm.
the new bar that was going to open, and then Sue meeting Alice's and that. But I was really nice. We had these swingers made up, and I could have just went in and start passing them out, you know, but I didn't want to get anybody mad or anything. So I went up and asked Helen. I said, I have some swingers on a new bar that's opening. Would you mind if I passed them out? And she said, I certainly would. I said, fine, then I won't pass them out. And I went and put them back in my car, and I came back in the bar, and I sat down, and she came up, and she said, I appreciate you asking me first. And I said, well, I appreciate you being honest. You don't want me to pass swingers in your bar? I won't. But, of course, you can't stop me from talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what I did night after night. Mm-hmm. Went in and talked about the bar.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't pass any swingers out in there.
Wow.
But I talked to everybody. I was that right when you first walked in where that little part is there, the bar.
Mm-hmm.
That right there. And everybody that walked in that bar, I told them about the bar opening.
Right.
You know. That was going to open and how great it was going to be, and it was going to be all female employees, and you know.
Mm.
And she used to hear me. I mean, I didn't whisper it, you know.
Is that how word got around years ago? Like, how did, when a new bar opened years ago, how did
word of mouth?
Word of mouth.
Yeah.
It always seems to work. That's amazing.
Yeah, when I was working at the Red Spot, and the Red Spot was, you know, closed down. Well, no, I quit a little bit before they closed down. I quit because all of a sudden the guy that was managing the place got a little tricky is the word, so I have to say
mm-hmm.
it. And that was a mixed bar, half and half, you know. And all of a sudden, because he was a guy, and he wanted it all of a sudden to be a guy's bar because the girls started to really come in.
Mm.
All of a sudden, he decided that girls would have to wear dresses or skirts to come in.
Oh.
And I said to him, well, does that mean I have to wear a dress or a skirt when I'm working?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, no. I said, well, I'm one of the girls,
mm-hmm.
you know. And he said, well, that's different. You're working here. I said, no. I said, if they, you know, can't come in comfortable, they work all week, they want to come out at night and have a few drinks and relax. Maybe they dress up, you know, they're working out in the straight world and they have to dress up and they want to come out and just let themselves go and be themselves and dress comfortably. I said, it's not right. You know, it really isn't right. And he said, well, that's the way it's going to be. And I said, well, then I'm afraid I'm going to have to go out and find a bar for the girls. And he just looked at me and he said, you told me...